There's nothing more pathetic than an aging hipster.
All right, Baldy. Shut your Keiko.
I'm done, really. Everything is so cruel now. I just want it all to stop.
If you look in this place tomorrow and it's gone, you must not be sad. Because you know it still exists not very far away.
Hello. My name is Klaus Schwab. Klaus. We have ways of making you happy. You need to be happy, and we will make you happy. Whether you like it or not, you will be happy.
Put a smile on your face.
Put it on your face now.
Put a smile on your face.
Friends, construction work continues in Buffalo, New York. They are digging up the roads and installing something underneath the roads. I wonder what it could be. Two 5G towers down the street from me now. And National Grid went into my yard and took out a tree, without my permission, of course, and put in a very thick wire, which I'm guessing is especially thick to carry the 5G radiation. And I'm guessing the reason why the tree was removed is that this 5G radiation is a fire hazard. It's posing a fire hazard. So they've had to remove trees or cut down trees or cut into trees to make room for this. So this makes me think, this 5G technology and all of this emphasis on electricity as opposed to gas is not environmentally friendly. Not if it can cause fires and if it requires cutting trees down. So you think that would be a tip-off to the average person that something's wrong here. Do you like to see those hideously ugly 5G towers in your area? Now, I know some people who live in rural areas or affluent suburbs or affluent areas, they're probably not seeing this 5G technology being put up in their areas yet. There's not as much of it in the affluent areas or the rural areas yet. Of course, the plan is to put them up everywhere, right? But, you know, of course, they're starting out in the poorer neighborhoods, in the inner city neighborhoods, the working class neighborhoods, and in the cities. That's where the major cities, that's where they're starting. So in Buffalo, there's just a lot of construction work that we, you know, the people didn't see in the past. And yet, people act like they don't even notice. It's the weirdest thing. One of the pet peeves that some of us had about Buffalo is that road construction usually didn't take place until the fall, you know, heading towards winter. And we would wonder, well, why don't they do that construction work during the summer? Well, because the city of Buffalo just doesn't have the money to fix their roads. Well, they're still not fixing the roads, actually. A lot of the roads are still not being repaired when they should be, but this construction work is going on, this mad construction work. Some of it is resulting in big structures for big businesses, you know, gigantic, ginormous stores and mixed-use buildings where people can live in the building and there's also businesses in the building. And why that's important is because their plan, of course, is to have these 15-minute cities where you're not allowed to go outside of a 15-minute range from where you live. They want to imprison us. And so that's why some of us don't like these mixed-use buildings. We're a little concerned about it, in case you don't know. In any case, Americans for Responsible Technology, AmericansForResponsibleTech.org, are sending out an alert for H.R. 3557. It is a bill, and I'm going to quote from the website. This bill represents an unprecedented and dangerous infringement of local government's authority to manage public rights of way and land use. It strips local governments of property rights and monetary compensation in favor of cable, wireless, and telecommunications providers. The bill also waives historic preservation and environmental rules. It goes on to say, in return for this, the bill imposes no obligations on these companies to provide broadband to underserved or unserved Americans, even though, of course, that's what they're claiming they're trying to do. They want to close the digital divide. that's their claim, right? Also, according to this website, Americans for Responsible Technology, in the 1996 Telecommunications Act, Congress wisely granted local authorities control over how wireless technology is deployed in their communities. H.R. 3557 takes that control away and gives it to the federal government instead. This is an unprecedented federal takeover of local control. It goes on, wireless companies and site developers don't like local zoning laws. They claim local authorities are getting in the way of progress. Let's be clear about this. Transmitting data wirelessly is an inferior technology, not capable of providing the speed, security, low cost, and reliability required for full participation in the digital economy. Wireless is no substitute for high-quality fiber optic wired broadband connections, unquote. Okay, so you can, if you want to do something, you could contact your local government officials. Just look up your state senators, your state lawmakers online, and you could contact them. You could even maybe contact your mayor or contact Governor Kathy Hochul if you live in New York State, because she cares a lot about you. And you can just say, stop HR 3557 now. It may or may not do any good to contact our, you know, but we can do it. You know, we can at least let them know that we are paying attention, that we're aware of what they're doing. Now, there's another organization. There are a lot of these organizations that are protesting against 5G and electromagnetic frequency exposure. Environmental Health Trust, ehtrust.org. They actually recorded a hearing that took place in New York City on June 7th of this year, June 7th, 2023. New York Government Committee on Technology. The City Council for New York City offered this hearing, and there was testimony from New Yorkers about their experience with 5G technology and the 5G towers being put up in their communities and what they think about this wireless technology. So it was a very long hearing, actually, and a lot of people testified. I only have here a handful of people who spoke. I did not listen to the entire thing, but you can actually go to their website, once again, ehtrust.org, and find links to the recordings for this hearing. They also have a YouTube channel, oddly enough, that is still there as of this the date of this podcast. And so it's very interesting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play for you right now some of the compelling testimony that I heard from this. And as I said, I'm sure there's a lot more testimony that's just as compelling that I did not get. So you if you want to hear that, go to the website and find out more. This is interesting because I think that the testimony of these New Yorkers shows that there are people who are concerned. There are people who are speaking out and who are trying to make things better. I have to tell you that I have been to board meetings, school board meetings and town board meetings, and I've seen people sometimes protest en masse against things and very loudly say, we do not want this. And I've watched as politicians completely ignored what the people had to say and lied about it. Oh, there wasn't any protest. Nobody was against this. And they just put through whatever law, ordinance, regulation, whatever it is that they want to put through anyway. So I don't have faith in these politicians. I do think it's important that we express our opinions and that we tell them what we think. But ultimately, we the people need to be the ones who push back. And we need to be getting together with other people and doing things like saying, I'm not going to use a smartphone anymore. Or I'm going to limit how much time I spend on my smartphone. I'm going to connect to the internet with a wire instead of wirelessly, for example. Those are some things that we can do and try to inform others of the dangers. But unfortunately, these politicians really are not listening. I think it's great that people are speaking out, and that's why I'm going to play for you the testimony of some of these folks now, because it's very, very interesting. And I felt that I learned a lot from listening to what they had to say. And another thing that you can gather when you listen to these folks speak is that they have lost trust as well. And there are a couple people from law enforcement who were law enforcement officers who said, you know, these people are lying to us, you know, and they didn't come right out and say it in so many words, but they implied that, yeah, some of these politicians are criminals. They're committing a criminal act. One gentleman who spoke talked about cobalt and how cobalt is mined by poor people of color in Congo in Africa. And he really speaks to this notion that somehow this is environmentally friendly and it's anti-racism, and they're purposely putting these 5G towers in poor black communities because they care so much about poor black people. Or maybe they just want to fry them to death. I don't know. Anyway, that was an interesting testimony, which you will hear. And just to prepare you also, OTI that people refer to is the Office of Technology and Innovation. It was created by New York City Mayor Eric Adams in January of 2022. The Chief Technology Officer is Michael Frazier. And I got this information from New York City's official website, nyc.gov, in case there's people out there who, you know, and it happens where people actually dispute actual facts that I put out there. You know, this is from New York City's website, okay, just so you know, not making this up, okay? But you will hear people refer to OTI, and when they do, they're talking about that Office of Technology and Innovation, which is a government office. It's a part of, it's a New York City office set up to monitor and control this technology. And I don't know. I'm just kind of wondering why that needed to be set up. It's interesting to me. Another thing you'll notice when you listen to this testimony is people had to talk really fast. They were interrupted. And, you know, a lot of these people were talking about complex information that takes a while to explain clearly, and they were kind of pressured into reducing it to a soundbite, interrupted by a timekeeper. And that's disappointing, because I know that they need to limit the time of these meetings, but at the same time, in a democratic society, what you do is you just basically schedule more hearings, you know, and you let everyone have a chance to speak. Maybe you don't want to let somebody speak for a half hour or for an hour. Of course, you know, there has to be some limit. But if somebody's saying something that's worthwhile, that's important, I think you just need to let them, you know, explain it clearly and completely. And they did. To their credit, the woman who seemed to be running this hearing, she actually gave people a little extra time to speak when they needed it. So that is something that I appreciate. In any case, let's take a listen to some of this compelling testimony. I think you're really going to enjoy it and learn a little something about 5G and how it impacts people, and also how prevalent it is in New York City, being placed close to people's homes. Very, very disturbing.
Thank you, committee. I lived West Side, Midtown, 14 years in the 4th District. February 2020, 2021, 2020, 9 5G cell towers activated in the rootop, 325 West 37, 40 and 90 feet from my window. I had a safe place to live before the cell towers. Immediate with operation, severe symptoms were confirmed with my doctor. Constant tinnitus, burning skin, shortness of breath, palpitations, increased pain in the eyes, limiting visual function, insomnia, several migraines, and vertical disturbances through cranium, occipital region, simultaneous horizontal intracranial disturbances, extending through ear canal, and stabbing pains extending into all four extremities. Stepping into the apartment, burning sharp needles, strong pressure on the heart, difficult concentration ensues. Stepping out into the hall, it stops. I wake up in the night because I can't breathe. A rhythmic sensation pressing heavily up and down on my heart. A searing sharp energy plunges from the top of my head, traveling through my nervous system and my full body. I'm paralyzed. I want to move and can't. This goes on for half an hour, two different nights. I have severe damage to my central nervous system. It's pandemic lockdown and I have no safe place to live. In 2 weeks, with the initial currents, I secured temporary housing with a friend. My sleep is restored, the injuries remain. I'm physically weaker, collapsing every day, feeling sliced and burned neurologically, nausea and migraines, easily triggered, and constant painful sensitivity to light. Now I move to the East Side District 6, and there's cell towers everywhere I have to avoid. I know two buildings of residents living in agony, unable to lead normal lives. The Pentagon developed weaponry with 5G, immobilizing people. I was immobilized. Now you know what can happen, and cell towers
should be... Time expired.
You can continue your testimony, Ms. Bond.
Thank you. I wanted to highly encourage using wired broadband because it is safe, reliable, efficient, and cheaper. And it's already been paid for, the copper wiring. And this could be reaching everyone because it's already paid for and the circuitry is already going to all the homes. We need to go in a safe way. Thank you very much for this hearing.
The whole purpose of the kiosk was supposed to be on Jamaica Avenue to help bring Wi-Fi to the community, especially in that commercial strip area. Everyone was for it. Everyone was excited. And we also wanted our Wi-Fi in our parks. Instead, what we have gotten is kiosks being littered everywhere. And on top of that, now we have these monstrous towers that literally people are thrown off. They're fearful, and we can't blame them. This is not what we asked for. When Community Board 12 was contacted in regards to what type of unit we wanted to see, I clearly told them in writing we did not want that. We did not want that 9 foot, 32 foot, 9 foot tower. We did not want that in our community. Now we have it. We're beginning to see it, and they do it in a very sneaky manner. They, you can drive through one section and not see it, and next come through again in a couple of days, and there's a tower put up. Currently on Rockaway Boulevard, there are two that are a block away from each other. And the way we've been told by Link NYC, they're looking to make a web type of connection. And with that being said, that means there needs to be one on every other block at least, with a 9 foot tower. That is not acceptable. I've seen these towers
Time expired.
On commercial mixed use, and they are right near windows. Our community, they came to us with a doctor who was talking about the medical effects and how there was no effects to the community. And it turns out he wasn't even a real doctor of biology. He was a fraud. As the prior gentleman said, I too am retired from law enforcement. Listening to how they came to us and the lies that they have told to our community board time and time again, we feel that they cannot be trusted. They're not coming with honesty. They're not coming with a straight story. They told our community we needed this 5G because we're so poor. We're homeowners here with renters. So how poor can we possibly be? Yes, we do have shelters, and we are hope we're carrying the weight of the shelters for the city, and the shelters need that 5G, and they need the children in the shelters need that equipment. But we do not need this 5G the way they're saying. And finally, I have already seen and heard on TV just yesterday that they are coming out with 10G. So now where does that leave 5G if 10G is already on the horizon? Put the wiring underground. There's a better way to do this. We too, Community Board 12, we want a moratorium. We have sent out our resolution. We want a cease and desist. We don't accept this.
Installation of 32-foot-tall 5G network towers and 5G multiple modules placed on lampposts are the antithesis of respecting the aesthetic standards of our historic districts and violate not only the city standard for historic districts, but the federal standards as well. The size of the towers, some of which include active advertising screens, overwhelm the streetscape, mask the view of trees, and interfere with the uniformity and standard of the architecture in a historic district. Sitting close to the windows of residents, the towers block views and emit questionable levels of wireless radiation, a concern that requires much more discussion.
Time expired.
Currently, let me sum up then just to say that the tech companies are available right now to build and operate an innovative and interconnected broadcast platform that use current infrastructure and actually send signals off the Empire State Building. This is in effect now, using current infrastructure with the communication companies such as Verizon and AT just have to tweak their system a bit as receivers. So the technology already exists for that. There's no reason for us to have these invasive towers. Please put a stop to this.
The lack of clarity regarding the approval and review process of 5G towers has led to a lack of trust from the community. The ostensibly random clusters of approved sites for installation with no official review process undertaken for towers installed in historic districts demonstrates a lack of transparency surrounding this important issue. We believe that no concern has been given to the sensitivity of placing these huge towers in historic districts or near individual landmarks and scenic landmarks, simply for City Bridge's own goal of coverage and profit.
Low-income resident in City Council District 2, I do not need Link NYC Wi-Fi. I already received free internet from the FCC via the Affordability Connectivity Program. ACP gives me the opportunity to choose a Wi-Fi or a wired Ethernet connection. I choose Ethernet because Wi-Fi interferes with clear thinking, Wi-Fi interferes with sleep, and Wi-Fi interferes with other important body processes, including how the body uses calcium. I do not own a cell phone, I do not use Wi-Fi, and I wisely opted out of a dangerous smart meter before I installed metal screens over windows and mirrors and sheet metal over walls in my top floor apartment. I could feel microwave radiation from nearby wireless antennas cooking my body. Incoming radio frequencies also interfered with electronic equipment such as my handheld decibel sound level meter. Although I still need to put sheet metal on the floors to block my neighbor's incoming electro smog, the shielding I have already installed is improving my health and enabling my house plants to grow into trees. My indoor forest not only removes carcinogenic air pollutants, it converts the CO2 that I exhale into pure clean oxygen. Link NYC Wi-Fi towers pose a fire threat to outdoor trees and to all nearby tenants living in combustible wood frame buildings, such as the pre-war rent-stabilized building I live in. Link NYC tower fires have the potential to suddenly destroy low-income and affordable housing at a time when we need it the most. Okay, I'm gonna read part of this. This is, Wi-Fi is an important threat to human health. Wi-Fi causes oxidative stress, sperm testicular damage, neuropsychiatric effects, including EEG changes, cellular DNA damage, endocrine changes, and calcium overload. That's an article from PubMed. I lived West Side, Midtown, 14 years in the 4th District. February 2020, 9 5G cell towers activated on the rooftop, 325 West 37, 40 and 90 feet from my window. I had a safe place to live before the cell towers. Immediate with operation, severe symptoms were confirmed with my doctor. Constant tinnitus, burning skin, shortness of breath, palpitations, increased pain in the eyes, limiting visual function, insomnia, several migraines, and vertical disturbances through cranium, occipital region, simultaneous horizontal intracranial disturbances, extending through ear canal, and stabbing pains extending into all four extremities. Stepping into the apartment, burning sharp needles, strong pressure on the heart, difficult concentration ensues. Stepping out into the hall, it stops. I wake up in the night because I can't breathe. A rhythmic sensation pressing heavily up and down on my heart. A searing sharp energy plunges from the top of my head, traveling through my nervous system and my full body. I'm paralyzed. I want to move and can't. This goes on for half an hour, two different nights. I have severe damage to my central nervous system. It's pandemic lockdown, and I have no safe place to live. In 2 weeks, with the initial currents, I secured temporary housing with a friend. My sleep is restored, the injuries remain. I'm physically weaker, collapsing every day, feeling sliced and burned neurologically, nausea and migraines, easily triggered, and constant painful sensitivity to light. Now I move to the East Side District 6, and there's cell towers everywhere I have to avoid. I know two buildings of residents living in agony, unable to lead normal lives. The Pentagon developed weaponry with 5G, immobilizing people. I was immobilized. Now you know what can happen, and cell towers
should be... Time expired.
You can continue your testimony.
Thank you. I wanted to highly encourage using wired broadband because it is safe, reliable, efficient, and cheaper. And it's already been paid for, the copper wiring. And this could be reaching everyone because it's already paid for and the circuitry is already going to all the homes. We need to go in a safe way. Thank you very much for this hearing.
The whole purpose of the kiosk was supposed to be on Jamaica Avenue to help bring Wi-Fi to the community, especially in that commercial strip area. Everyone was for it. Everyone was excited. And we also wanted our Wi-Fi in our parks. Instead, what we have gotten is kiosks being littered everywhere. And on top of that, now we have these monstrous towers that literally people are thrown off. They're fearful, and we can't blame them. This is not what we asked for. When Community Board 12 was contacted in regards to what type of unit we wanted to see, I clearly told them in writing we did not want that. We did not want that 9 foot, 32 foot, 9 foot tower. We did not want that in our community. Now we have it. We're beginning to see it, and they do it in a very sneaky manner. They, you can drive through one section and not see it, and next come through again in a couple of days, and there's a tower put up. Currently on Rockaway Boulevard, there are two that are a block away from each other. And the way we've been told by Link NYC, they're looking to make a web type of connection. And with that being said, that means there needs to be one on every other block at least, with a 9 foot tower. That is not acceptable. I've seen these towers
time expired.
On commercial mixed use, and they are right near windows. Our community, they came to us with a doctor who was talking about the medical effects and how there was no effects to the community. And it turns out he wasn't even a real doctor of biology. He was a fraud. As the prior gentleman said, I too am retired from law enforcement. Listening to how they came to us and the lies that they have told to our community board time and time again, we feel that they cannot be trusted. They're not coming with honesty. They're not coming with a straight story. They told our community we needed this 5G because we're so poor. We're homeowners here with renters. So how poor can we possibly be? Yes, we do have shelters, and we're carrying the weight of the shelters for the city and the shelters need that 5G, and they need the children in the shelters need that equipment. But we do not need this 5G the way they're saying. And finally, I have already seen and heard on TV just yesterday that they are coming out with 10G. So now where does that leave 5G if 10G is already on the horizon? Put the wiring underground. There's a better way to do this. We too, Community Board 12, we want a moratorium. We have sent out our resolution. We want a cease and desist. We don't accept this.
Installation of 32-foot-tall 5G network towers and 5G multiple modules placed on lampposts are the antithesis of respecting the aesthetic standards of our historic districts and violate not only the city standard for historic districts, but the federal standards as well. The size of the towers, some of which include active advertising screens, overwhelm the streetscape, mask the view of trees, and interfere with the uniformity and standard of the architecture in the historic district. Sitting close to the windows of residents, the towers block views and emit questionable levels of wireless radiation, a concern that requires much more discussion.
Time expired.
Currently, let me sum up then just to say that the tech companies are available right now to build and operate an innovative and interconnected broadcast platform that use current infrastructure and actually send signals off the Empire State Building. This is in effect now, using current infrastructure with the communication companies such as Verizon and AT just have to tweak their system a bit as receivers. So the technology already exists for that. There's no reason for us to have these invasive towers. Please put a stop to this ill-thought.
The lack of clarity regarding the approval and review process of 5G towers has led to a lack of trust from the community. The ostensibly random clusters of approved sites for installation with no official review process undertaken for towers installed in historic districts demonstrates a lack of transparency surrounding this important issue. We believe that no concern has been given to the sensitivity of placing these huge towers in historic districts or near individual landmarks and scenic landmarks simply for City Bridge's own goal of coverage and profit.
Low-income resident in City Council District 2, I do not need Link NYC Wi-Fi. I already received free internet from the FCC via the Affordability Connectivity Program. ACP gives me the opportunity to choose a Wi-Fi or a wired Ethernet connection. I choose Ethernet because Wi-Fi interferes with clear thinking, Wi-Fi interferes with sleep, and Wi-Fi interferes with other important body processes, including how the body uses calcium. I do not own a cell phone, I do not use Wi-Fi, and I wisely opted out of a dangerous smart meter before I installed metal screens over windows and mirrors and sheet metal over walls in my top floor apartment. I could feel microwave radiation from nearby wireless antennas cooking my body. Incoming radio frequencies also interfered with electronic equipment such as my handheld decibel sound level meter. Although I still need to put sheet metal on the floors to block my neighbor's incoming electro smog, the shielding I have already installed is improving my health and enabling my house plants to grow into trees. My indoor forest not only removes carcinogenic air pollutants, it converts the CO2 that I exhale into pure clean oxygen. Link NYC Wi-Fi towers pose a fire threat to outdoor trees and to all nearby tenants living in combustible wood frame buildings, such as the pre-war rent-stabilized building I live in. Link NYC tower fires have the potential to suddenly destroy low-income and affordable housing at a time when we need it the most. Okay, I'm gonna read part of this. This is, Wi-Fi is an important threat to human health. Wi-Fi causes oxidative stress, sperm testicular damage, neuropsychiatric effects, including EEG changes, apoptosis.
Time expired.
cellular DNA damage, endocrine changes, and calcium overload. That's an article from PubMed.
The towers that have been proposed in the Marcus Garvey Landmark District, I want you to know, one, we already have Wi-Fi services that is provided all along our park through the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation. Selling our Harlem streets to wireless telecommunications companies for their own profit is not something Harlem asked for, wants, or needs, nor was our historic district listed in the current Third Amendment of the Franchise Agreement. There is no singular definition to define the digital divide. The Link 5G cell towers franchise agreement with City Bridge solely concentrates on one aspect of the digital divide, which is availability, and blatantly ignores the other aspects, such as affordability, quality of service, relevance, and safety. Mount Morris Park residents, business owners, churches, daycare, schools, homeowners, community-based organizations, associations, including the New York City Parks and Recreation Department and the Harlem Historic Park Administration, living within the proposed area of the three Link 5G towers were not consulted or given a needs assessment survey. So, again, Harlem did not ask for it, we don't want it, and we don't need it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I am a lifetime New Yorker, live in the Community Board 8, Community Board 8 area, which has rejected the towers. These Link 5G towers are like alien biological intruders, collecting a financial toll and a toll on our health. The planned build-out of 4,000 5G cell towers and up to 7,500 by 2026 will bring millions of New York residents, whether elderly, pregnant women, children, people with physical disabilities or immune system problems, pets, and trees and other life forms, into involuntary daily close contact with invisible electrical charges from towers emitting unmeasured amounts of RF radiation 24/7. Wireless build-out has been touted to help close the digital divide. However, the build-out will have the opposite results. Many installations have been centered on so-called equity areas, which are identified by the telecoms, I guess, claiming they did a survey back in 2020 on the need for better wireless service, but they have no locatable documentation for that survey. It's all been very deceptive. Some people in those equity areas resent being considered needy and say they do not want the towers and do not need them. In fact, in those areas may not be able to afford 5G phones and services. The reality is they will be stuck with an inferior, if not already outdated, technology in an intrusive 32-foot-high data collecting form with little they can do about it and facing their windows. Wireless needs constant
upgrades. Time expired?
It's easily hackable and will expose them to radiation. Fiber optic wired broadband, on the other hand, is superior in every way and has been all future-proof. Also help children do their homework at home.
Thank you.
I demand that the committee urge a moratorium on any further installations of the Link 5G cell towers in New York City, and to deactivate any of those already installed towers until more is known about the health effects and public safety. Thank you.
I'm a broadband consultant. I've been designing and building fiber optic networks for over 40 years. I was asked by Odette Wilkins of wiredbroadband.org to chime. And I have designed and built networks in multiple states utilizing public and private funds, underserved areas of community, most notably a $40 million network connecting rural schools in impoverished Mississippi under a President Obama VTOC grant. I have twice been invited to speak on national syndicated radio, Gigabit Nation, as a broadband subject matter expert. I personally managed the fiber restoration for MCI WorldCom, returning telco services to Manhattan post 9/11, connecting Fed, city, and vital locations, bringing them back online. Remember the stock market bell rang a week later? I was behind that. I spent months at ground zero. I'm currently engaged in a large engineering firm building fiber network to underserved areas of New York State via USDA grant. The USDA would not approve this project for funding as they would consider it unsustainable. As part of my career, I worked for Lexit and was their project manager on the Metro PCS fiber optic network build that also installed the fiber City Bridge utilizes. Big Tel and Cable created the digital divide by failing to upgrade wired facilities and instead invested in unproven, unsustainable wireless service offerings that are more profitable. These unsightly towers provide very limited penetration to bring broadband into residents. How did New York City get it so wrong? The continuation of this wireless deployment is outrageous given the digital divide is so wide and the gap can be closed via a wired solution. The money should instead be spent on fiber to underserved areas, particularly those that could access the ACP program that would make the project eligible for federal funding as well. I'm often hired by organizations like OTI to help them make decisions such as this when they
time expired.
Wireless versus wired solutions. And I have posed three questions in writing that can be considered. Thank you very much.
I just want to start in response to some of the testimony. 5G is a corporate land grab. It's pitched as bridging the digital divide. FCC limits are outdated, set in 1996, and these limits are based on small animal studies from the 70s and 80s, like this, when cell phones looked like this, brick phones. So we sued the FCC regarding its refusal to update its limits and the lack of review for over 10,000 pages of research and evidence. And by the way, the majority of studies show adverse effects. You can run it a lot of ways. Glad to explain in the question time more on that. In 2021, we won our lawsuit against the FCC. The U.S. Court of Appeals, D.C. Circuit, ordered the FCC to address what it had ignored, specifically the published research indicating impacts to the brain, to memory, inflammation, the endocrine system, children's vulnerability. Children absorb this radiation deeper into their more sensitive brains. The health effects of long-term exposure, because these limits are designed for short-term heating effects, but not long-term daily exposure for years. And environmental impacts. The FCC ignored studies showing damage to birds, bees, and tree canopy. Now, it's been nearly 2 years and the FCC has not responded to the court mandate. The U.S. government can't explain how its antiquated 1996 limits protect human health or the environment. Why? Because there's no one watching the store. The EPA, CDC, FDA, National Cancer Institute, and World Health Organization have not scientifically reviewed the totality of the up-to-date research, and certainly not on 5G, 4G, or bioeffects related to long-term cell tower level radiation. There's no risk assessment and no report by these agencies. And the last thing I'll say is that is because there's no federal agency with any funded activities regarding cell tower radiation, no federal measurement or oversight program. It's a regulatory gap. And we sent numerous letters to the OTI. They have not answered that related to where are the RF reports, for what the radiation emits, and are those levels even compliant with the antiquated levels that we have, limits that we have. So there's still been no response to our letter, which I sent in the testimony. I submitted extensive written testimony to you. Thank you.
Can you expand a little bit on what the mandate determined in 2021 and how the FCC is not in compliance if they're not meeting this mandate?
Well, the FCC decided in 2019, so a few years ago, that the 1996 limits, the ones set decades ago based on science developed earlier, that those did not need to be updated. Now, there had been a almost 7-year inquiry where the FCC was accepting science testimony recommendations. It had asked the questions, should we update these limits? Should we update based on children's vulnerability? They actually asked all the right questions in their inquiry. And they have a record with over 10,000, actually more than that, pages of science and evidence. Then in 2019, they said, oh, we looked at it and we decided that there's no reason to change the limits, to update them. And so that is actually when they triggered and greenlighted the 5G streamlining, the fast track rules at the federal level. So our lawsuit was that the FCC literally ignored, did not address, did not even mention all of the issues that I talked about, the non-cancer issues, impacts to memory, brain damage. Someone who testified earlier talked about Dr. Hugh Taylor's research that found damage to mammary in animals. He's the chief of OBGYN at Yale and also our on our board. And that was completely ignored, all of that science, as well as everything related to birds, bees, and trees. So by law, an agency has to show that they properly reviewed everything that was presented to it. They should have said, we looked at what you said about children's vulnerability and we think X, Y, and Z. The key piece of this, though, is that the FCC can't opine on the issue of health because it's not a health and science agency. They don't have medical doctors or scientists who have, are trained in understanding it. So they needed to rely on other agencies. So one of the key issues in the court case was that one of the judges in the oral arguments was saying, well, how do you know this is safe for a long term? And the FCC attorney, this is just an example of what happened in the case, said, well, we just know. And the judge, and not in so many words, said, you can't just know by whose authority. There is no agency. The EPA used to measure the levels in the environment, no longer does that. There's no monitoring. There's no oversight. There's no looking at the science on a cell tower, and 5G, of course, is completely, there's been no review of that. So the lawsuit was about proper review of the record. Mm-hmm. And the FCC was ordered to respond in 2021, and they have not responded.
And then can you also, thank you, by the way, you mentioned that you had shared correspondence with OTI. Can you just, how many times and the dates? Because it's my understanding that they have not responded.
Right. In fact, it was sent to, okay, so I had have to pull it up.
Yeah, when you can, you can submit it.
I would say it's about 3 or 4, maybe 5 times I sent them this letter. And finally, I sent it to a council person who sent it. And then I got an email back that it was now a FOIL, you call it a FOIL, uh-huh, a public information request, and I have not gotten a response. And my question was, where are the RF radiation measurement reports? And at OTI said in a meeting way back, one of the community board meetings, they said, oh, well, we don't have any antennas in there, so we don't have that information. But you see, the way it normally works is when there is an application for a facility, there is a computer simulations that can be done to estimate what the levels will be based on what's in the environment, based on the projected antenna strength and frequency and so forth. In my community, for example, and I'm in Maryland, actually, our city actually hired a firm to do that, to simulate if there was a cell installation, what would the levels be, how far would it go out, and they did a worst case, best case, they did like 1 antenna, 3 antennas, but none of that has been done. And also, OTI said that they have radiation measurements that are being done or have been done on other facilities. I've asked for those. I have not received those. So I don't know where they are or if, like, I don't know where they are. Now, one of the problems is there's no oversight on this. Like, who's checking? Who's checking that those reports exist? that there's compliance, that those compliance reports are looking at what are the levels inside the building, mm-hmm. not just standing on the ground, but inside the building when you're just 8 feet from these antennas. So
right.
I have not received a response.
Wonderful. Thank you. If you have the capacity to forward that to the same email that you used to testify, that would be great.
Great. I have it in my testimony.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Second, OTI and City Bridge have been completely unable to follow their own guidelines. In our area, there's a tower adjacent to an individual landmark that violates OTI's guidelines. There are two towers on one block that violates OTI's own guidelines. There are towers with advertising screens located within historic districts that violates OTI's own guidelines. There are towers too close to trees.
Time expired.
Towers that leave less than eight feet of sidewalk for pedestrians, towers blocking stop signs, all violate the guidelines. This isn't just a matter of violating the letter of the law, violating the letter of the rules. The big question here is, if OTI and City Bridge have made such a mess of the siting process, how can we trust that they will be able to avoid going bankrupt, successfully bridge the digital divide, and guarantee that the 5G towers are being operated in compliance with all safety standards, inadequate as those standards may be? Thank you very much. Appreciate your time and greatly respect.
I helped my schools become the first in the nation to start taking precautionary measures with wireless technology. I also helped New Hampshire become the first state in the nation to pass a law to investigate the health and environmental impact of today's 5G and wireless technology. Their groundbreaking commission report documents conflicts of interest with the wireless industry, the FDA, the FCC, and other federal agencies. New Hampshire also documents biological harm from wireless technology and makes 15 recommendations to transition away from toxic wireless emissions and instead invest in fiber optics to and through the premises. Retired president of Microsoft Canada, Frank Clegg, testified that wireless is no longer advanced technology. Fiber optics directly to and through the premises is. Now, the Earth pulses healthy electron energy at 7.83 times per second. Wireless man-made technology pulses a million times in the megahertz range and a billion times in the gigahertz range at our cells. Quite simply, wireless radiation overpowers our biological cells. This radio frequency radiation detection meter lets us see this invisible energy. Here in my house, I'm at a nice, safe level of green, but I want to give you a demonstration of what happens with wireless technology. When I take my cell phone out of airplane, see how we went into the flashing red? That's extremely hazardous, according to the biological science. I'm going to go right back into airplane mode to remove that exposure. It went up to over a half a million.
Time expired.
In the science, they want us at 10. So I do safe technology training twice a month. I invite you to join us at Massachusetts for Safe Technology for an educational webinar, and we can help you learn how to bring safe, hardwired technology to and through the premises. Thank you very much.
Since the Link 5G program began its surprisingly unfettered and aggressive rollout last fall, we've expressed broad concerns about the proposed installation of 32-foot Link 5G towers throughout the Upper East Side and New York City. While we wholeheartedly believe that equitable and reliable access to high-speed internet is essential, there are a myriad of issues with the Link 5G project. One of the most puzzling is the opacity behind the siting of the towers. OTI and the City Bridge team have offered inconsistent reasoning, all equally vague, for the tower siting, oscillating between a strategic placement to bridge the digital divide and placing towers at the behest of various commercial telecommunication companies to fortify their networks. The absurdity of the siting plan is clearly illustrated in the proposed locations on the Upper East Side. Nine Link 5Gs are proposed in our neighborhoods, seven of which are in historic districts. Inexplicably, six six are located in a 2x9 block area of Carnegie Hill. Each of these towers are less than 3 blocks away from the next closest tower. In another part of the neighborhood, there are 2 towers, 1 diagonal block from each other at the southwest corner of Madison Avenue and 62nd Street and southwest corner of Park Avenue and 63rd Street. While City Bridge and OTI claim today that the siding for the towers was more thoughtful and spaced out than the initial rollout, these towers are 3 times the height of the original kiosks and much more visually intrusive.
I'm president of the Alliance for Microwave Radiation Accountability, a New York-based nonprofit organization working for those disabled by electromagnetic sensitivity, sickness recognized for 70 years as microwave radiation syndrome. 2019 study by Michael Bevington analyzed the prevalence of electromagnetic radiation disabilities in the population. Based on its percentages, and the 8 million people living in New York City, 55,000 people are already so disabled they can't work. Another 127,000 people have severe symptoms. Some 423,000 people experience moderate symptoms. 30% of your constituents, some 2.5 million people, are already dealing with mild symptoms of electromagnetic illness. The worst victims are refugees from radiation, forced to withdraw from society, unable to tolerate additional exposure from any source. The injured lose their civil rights and access to medical care, the legal system, and government. They can't walk into City Hall, a courthouse, a library, a bank, or a hospital. They're no longer able to go shopping for food or clothing. Every store is off limits due to the radiation from Wi-Fi and cell phones. You can't overcome the digital divide through wireless technology that causes microwave radiation syndrome and disables even more people, barring them from civic life and public spaces. You need to declare a moratorium on all new construction of 5G monopoles and deactivate all 5G towers now in service before the people of New York City are devastated. Provide wired broadband through fiber to the premises. It's faster, safer, and uses less energy. Lastly, no law prevents this committee from holding hearings on the health impacts of 5G, a necessary first step toward granting the victims of microwave radiation syndrome formal recognition of our illness and disability, equal access to public spaces, and justice for our suffering.
I'm reading the testimony of George. I have been in public service for at least 20 years, and I'm a police lieutenant in New York in charge of 300 people. I own a 3-story house in Astoria, which I purchased in 2013. My sister and I used to live there. As a police lieutenant, I only rely on facts, and what I'm about to tell you are the facts. In September 2020, when I returned from traveling, I discovered just several feet from my front yard a newly installed pole with a multi-directional wireless antenna on top. The pole, 35 to 40 feet tall, is closest to my third floor window. Other wireless antennas are attached to overhead wires that are parallel to the second and third stories where my sister and I lived. For the first time in my life, I went from being perfectly healthy to suffering from heart arrhythmias, headaches, and not being able to sleep out of nowhere. As my cardiologist discovered, I had multiple heart arrhythmias. I had to undergo an invasive procedure called a cardiac ablation. But to the doctor's surprise, he was not able to replicate the arrhythmias. I didn't have them when I was away from the antennas. I experimented and stayed away from my house, and my symptoms were gone. My sister, at 31 years old, had just completed chemotherapy. She became very sick, had headaches and nausea. Her oncologist said that wireless radiation could aggravate her condition and the cancer could come back. My sister and I have since evacuated the house. I have to return occasionally but try to stay away as much as I can. This has been a financial drain, shouldering a mortgage for a house that we can't live in. If I'm not doing my job, I get indicted. Aren't city officials supposed to be protecting us from this unnecessary radiation? I recommend a moratorium on all wireless installations, including the Link 5G towers. Thank you.
Hello, thank you for this oversight hearing. I was born and raised in New York and have lived in Crown Heights for almost 30 years. I'm here representing a low to moderate income community of color. I'm a member of the movement Protect the People, Flower Lovers Against Corruption, and the Sullivan Ludlam Stoddard Neighborhood Association. I live in Community Board 9, where I witnessed the installation of a Link 5G tower this past August, sans any notification from the Community Board 9, and I regularly attend these meetings. After a lot of community collaboration, a lot of FOIL requests, and unprecedented amount of pushback from CB9, with the help of Teresa Westerdahl and Wired Broadband, we were able to get the community board to pass a resolution demanding a moratorium on the Link 5G tower construction and activation until procedures and protocols are followed and important questions are adequately and truthfully answered. I've done some outreach in the community, and there is resounding concern being expressed about these towers. Young and old are worried about the health risks and do not think the health risks are a fair trade-off for 5G. And we know that the levels the FCC and FDA deem safe are not so, based on lawsuits and side effects that many people experience and the fluid movement of executives from corporations to the FCC and FDA, and vice versa, is overwhelming. Low to moderate income communities of color are already vulnerable populations with high rates of asthma and health conditions as compared to white upper middle class communities, thus more at a disadvantage health-wise and with additional health risks associated with 5G. On top of health risks, many do not appreciate the way these towers affect the visual integrity of residential blocks. These towers do not address the great digital divide. We are not certain of exactly where the gaps are in our community, so how do we know that they are being filled? 5G is said to have difficulty penetrating walls, so a lot of seniors will not benefit due to homebound issues, illness, etc., nor will children doing schoolwork in their homes. Almost done. In addition, the comptroller's report on the existing Link 5G kiosks and lack of services provided by City Bridge, $70 million owed to the Office of Technology, and OTI not ensuring equitable distribution to the city's underserved areas are also some major concerns. I would be remiss as we all reticently trudged through the haze blanketing the city from wildfires in Canada. The fire hazards of these towers tightly packed with electrical equipment is high. I implore you to please stop using the digital divide as a reason to pollute the city with these towers when there are plenty of other viable options that can really address this divide. Let's be truly innovative and not cave to the desires of corporate greed. A government of the people, by the people, for the people.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for this Oversight Committee meeting. And I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I live in Greenwich Village and I'm very grateful to Community Board 2 for doing all their due diligence and they called for a moratorium. I'd like to use this time to read the letter from a very important organization, Americans for Responsible Technology, from its founder and national director, Doug Wood. He and his wife, Patty's nonprofit, represent more than 150 grassroots organizations across the country using the latest science to support the deployment of safe, economical, and future-proof wire technology. They are focused on a very important subject, our children. He points out that the World Health Organization and the American Academy of Pediatrics have both made clear on repeated occasions, children are not just little adults. Their rapidly developing physiology makes them prime targets for environmental threats that can interfere with normal development and cause lifelong behavioral problems and learning deficits. He explains, our science-based organization first became aware of the potential harm that RF radiation poses for children with the publication of a study performed in 2012 at Yale University, where the offspring of laboratory mice who were exposed to cell phone radiation during pregnancy exhibited odd behavioral patterns that mimic every symptom of ADHD. An examination of the brains of the exposed animals revealed abnormal brain development, while the unexposed control group were completely normal in every way. What parent wants to take the chance that their child will not develop normally because of an unnecessary and involuntary exposure to a cell phone tower? Are we adults so desperate to be able to connect our wireless devices to everything, everywhere, all the time, that we are willing to take chances with our children's health and well-being? Last week, our organization filed a formal citizens petition with the FDA accusing the agency of violating its own law. a law which requires the FDA to take every possible step to minimize the public's exposure to RF radiation. Because the FDA has failed to obey the law, you have never been warned that RF radiation can be harmful. You have never been told that the potential harm from cell towers should be balanced with the needs of the community. No one needs a cell tower in front of or even near a school. One day soon, the FDA will probably tell you that.
Senior citizen who was on the Manhattan Solid Waste Advisory Board, I would like to read part of the testimony of Dr. Kent Chamberlain, PhD, former chair of the University of New Hampshire Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Engineering. Dr. Chamberlain was a member of the New Hampshire State Commission evaluating the health and environmental effects of evolving wireless and 5G technology. Quote, my purpose is to alert you to the dangers of siting a cell tower near to where people, particularly young people, live, work, or recreate. Scientists, physicians, environmental and public health physicians, epidemiologists, pediatricians, along with engineers such as myself, have been calling for state and local governments to be proactive in protecting your citizens against radiation exposure. Citizens in York, Maine have delayed antennas too close to neighborhoods. And in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, the Board of Health issued a cease and desist order against Verizon construction of a cell tower. I'm calling for a 1,640-foot setback for all new cell towers, end quotations. Woodstock, New York has enacted a model zoning siting law, and we would be wise to adopt something to our own needs. Thank you. I would like to also note that OTI and City Bridge kept on referring to the FCC's standards of protection. Those standards were established in 1996, and the courts asked them to revise those standards. They still haven't done it.
Early childhood educator, and while I live outside the city, I have families with young children I work with in New York City who are concerned about the wireless radiation that their children are exposed to. They do not want these towers or kiosks outside their homes. I am speaking on their behalf, as well as someone in a cluster of 17 in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, who has personally been injured by a cell tower installation in my neighborhood, operating within the FCC limits. My children and I have a diagnosis of injury due to non-ionizing radiation and suffer a condition known as electromagnetic sensitivity due to this non-consensual exposure. Our pediatrician brought this to our attention, the American Academy of Pediatrics position statement on limiting exposure to wireless base stations. The addition of these towers and kiosks will only add to the levels of pulsed modulated microwave radiation in direct opposition to what doctors, scientists, pediatricians, subject matter experts, and environmental policymakers are advising. New York City leaders should be focusing on health, safety, and accessibility for all their residents. We are not anti-technology. We love and depend on it, but we also now, since we have been injured by it, use it safer. And everyone deserves to have access to safe technology. A radiating tower or kiosk outside a home can make it inaccessible, as you have heard in other testimonies. The tower in my neighborhood made my home inaccessible, and we were forced to move. Not everyone has that choice. The FCC is not a health or safety agency. They have no studies of the cumulative biomedical effects of the exposure due to a 5G kiosk or tower on every block, as they wish to put them. We all agree that there are needs to have robust outreach and engagement to all community boards, and this includes robust discussion on the danger of this wireless installation poses to them. How can people speak out on something hazardous that is promoted as within compliance and portrayed as harmless? How can residents even learn about RF hazards when not a single tower or kiosk here in New York City is labeled as radiating? There is absolutely no informed consent. The New York City Council has no idea of how many people are sick or injured from these wireless installations. They don't know how many people have headaches, nausea, dizziness, insomnia, or palpitations. How can you when no one measures or mitigates? One more sentence. There is a cost to this connectivity. At the cost of the health of your constituents, it is not free. And with thousands of peer-reviewed studies showing harm, not one showing safety, and condescending comparisons about the RF of a banana or a marble slab, and that of pulsed modulated microwave radiation on every block, there is certainly no trust either. Thank you for your important attention to this matter.
Just wanted to mention that I'm a therapist and I deal with people who have electromagnetic sensitivity, and if you saw the suffering that I see, it would just make you cry. The tinnitus and the lack of the pain they're in constantly. One lives in the bathroom, pretty much, and that's it. Or she goes to bed at night in the car that's down in the garage. So I just wanted to add on to this Article 117, Section 19 of the New York State Constitution's Bill of Rights. It states, each person shall have a right to clean air and water and to a healthful environment. This is not healthful. And now I would like to also bring up addressing the New York reaching the zero point project as far as electricity. Here we go. Wireless devices, antenna networks, and data centers are consuming an ever-increasing portion of the global energy supply. That comes from pre-inventing wires. Then we have an older one that states, the digital transition, as it is currently implemented, participates to global warming more than it helps preventing it. And that's from the SHIFT Project Report of the Environmental Impact of Information and Communication Technologies 2019. Something that is older states, our energy calculations show that by 2015, wireless cloud will consume up to 43 terawatt hours compared to only 9.2 terawatt hours in 2012. An increase of 460%. Did you get that one? 460%? This is an increase in carbon footprint, which is what we're all about, carbon footprint, from 6 megatons of CO2 in 2012 to up to 30 megatons of CO2 in 2015, the equivalent of adding 4.9 million cars to the roads. And aren't we trying to get the cars off the roads here? But look at what we're getting with the 5G. Up to 90% of this consumption is attributable to wireless access network technologies. Data centers account for only 9%. Wireless access networks are clearly the biggest and most inefficient consumer of energy in the cloud information. Solution? A national wireline system can guarantee a superior foundation of internet access for everyone. Unequal connectivity speed, safety, privacy, security, energy efficiency, and long-term sustainability. And that's from your fiber, cable, copper, which Verizon never finished installing the fiber optics of which we paid for. Thank you.
I'm writing to add my voice to the chorus opposing the proposed 5G towers in Carnegie Hill, and I ask that all of our elected officials, local, state, and federal, work vigorously to stop this program immediately. The 5G proposal is a cynical plan purporting to expand digital access to underserved, less affluent communities, while instead largely passing them by to concentrate proposed towers in affluent neighborhoods. The intention is clear, not to support diversity, not to support equity, and not to bridge a digital divide, but instead to garner huge future revenue streams for carriers, pole providers, and the city by delivering what advertisers value most, upscale demographics. In addition, this ill-conceived plan would damage the Carnegie Hill Historic District, which is listed on the National Register of Historic Places and is one of the most important historic neighborhoods in the United States, comprising the historic integrity of this neighborhood, the historic integrity of this neighborhood would be an incalculable loss to our community and to the many tourists who visit our neighborhood and its iconic cultural institutions, including the Metropolitan Museum, the Guggenheim, the Cooper Hewitt, the Neue Gallery, and others. We have learned that only New York City proposes using huge towers to expand 5G services. Every other city in the country has devised a more sensible plan using newer technology. Let us.
We want to talk about legacy. The legacy of this committee, the legacy of all of the committees and the council members, the legacy of Eric Adams, the mayor. There's a mineral called cobalt. That mineral is needed to make batteries for electric vehicles, computers, and such. 75% of the cobalt is harvested in the Congo, in Africa. 75%. And we always talk about equity and color and white supremacy and all these other things. 75% of the cobalt is being mined by people of color, young women with babies strapped to their backs, boys and girls. That's going to be the legacy of the city council and the mayor and anyone that's pushing electric vehicles down our throats. According to the mayor and Uber, drivers need to have electric vehicles in about 10 years, since 2030. That's the legacy of this city. You can't cherry pick on what you're gonna advocate for. You have to remember the children of the Congo and cobalt. And there is no such thing as clean cobalt. That cobalt passes through the hands of children. And you have to remember that. And we're going to keep bringing that up here and throughout the city. We're even making a documentary, and we're recording this so everybody's going to know. We're going to date it, and you can't say we didn't tell you so. Thank you.
I'm a resident and commercial property owner on Broadway in Soho. I'm in opposition of the three-story 5G towers in historic districts, and the project should be paused throughout the city. I wish to speak about one specific situation. Several months ago, City Bridge was granted a permit by DOT to cut three large holes into my property's corner sidewalk. I was not notified prior to their action, and although their contract with the city states they are to engage an engineer, they did not. The properties along Broadway and along sidewalks of corner intersections are vaulted. Although the Department of Building has a map noting where the vaults are located in Soho, DOT, City Bridge, and Triumph, the contractor they hired to cut the three large holes into the sidewalks, neglected to do their due diligence to look to see if there was a vault. And even after cutting the first hole, they could see they cut into the building's vault. They proceeded to cut two more holes because, as the higher hand shouted at me, they have the permit to do so. Their actions have not been rectified. The sidewalk's waterproof membrane has been cut, and their actions have left the basement vulnerable to the elements. City Bridge has already shown that they have no respect for other people's property, nor the health of residents in residential buildings next to where they plan to erect their towers. They stated their mission is all about serving the underserved. As I say, I would say it's all about money and collecting personal data. Soho is a mixed-use neighborhood with mostly residential units above the ground floor. The poles would be located directly outside second and through fourth floor residential windows. Their presence is a health concern for all of us. And I hope
time expired.
Thank you.
testifying on behalf of the New York Civil Liberties Union. We thank the committee and council members for holding this hearing and for your opportunity to provide testimony today. Link NYC has, after 9 years of operation, still not disclosed a comprehensive list of the 30 sensors included in the kiosks, nor how Link NYC collects, combines, and utilizes people's information in its ad-driven business model. Each kiosk is equipped with multiple technologies that can facilitate the tracking of people and other data. Taken together at scale at the city level, they allow for vast surveillance powers. It is important to note that the remote technologies allow for the possibility to track devices, whether they affirmatively connect to the network or not. Such unwitting data leakage and collection can occur through wireless technologies, which emit unique device identifiers when looking for and pinging nearby connections and devices. And let's be clear, these surveillance powers are not by accident, but are core features of the business model, which, according to Intersection, promises advertisers highly detailed audience insights, real-time geospatial audience segmentation, and allows for hyper-targeting in the physical world. All these quotes stem from official Intersection advertising materials. Intersection describes further, ads on Link NYC will respond to the audience nearby, much like ads online, showing the right ad to the right people at the right time, wherever they are. How this is implemented and which third-party data sources are tapped into remains unclear. But these central capabilities make it plainly clear how this ad model is fundamentally different from traditional ad billboards at a phone booth or bus stop. Each of the thousands of kiosks can continuously collect anonymous amounts of data which can be further analyzed, processed, or combined. Claims of anonymization are worth little without full transparency, providing details on how they are implemented and how data are leveraged for targeted ads. Given the myriad ways of correlating their data with other data sets, the identification.
Time expired.
Thank you. We provided written testimony outlining more of our concerns, including the lack of bridging the digital divide. And we thank the council, and we want to note that the council has a crucial role to play in overseeing large-scale tech deployments like Link NYC, setting much-needed guardrails, safeguarding New Yorkers' privacy interests and rights, and providing broadband access to all New Yorkers.
Here today, representing the Surveillance Technology Oversight Project, which is a New York-based civil rights and anti-surveillance group, testifying today on our concerns about Link NYC's impact on New Yorkers' privacy. One of our most immediate concerns is Link NYC's privacy track record. Findings from a 2022 privacy and transparency audit revealed that City Bridge unlawfully continues to collect MAC addresses, IP data, subscriber data, and other identifying information from users of Link NYC kiosks. Such practices are not only a security and privacy risk to New Yorkers, but in direct violation of Link NYC's amended privacy policy and franchise agreements. Additionally, auditors found that City Bridge gave incomplete terms of use and incorrect privacy policies to Link NYC users. The consequences of these and the privacy infringements that they posed to New York residents are exceptionally high. Since the 2022 audit, City Bridge issued a remediation report in which they stated that they deployed MAC address anonymization and now ensure that users are provided with accurate terms of use and privacy information. While we believe these are important steps forward, far more is needed to protect New Yorkers' data. We commend the committee for holding this hearing and urge it to maintain its aggressiveness in its oversight of Link NYC and City Bridge. This company has repeatedly failed to meet its commitments to the city and people of New York, both failing it with its economic returns that the people of New York were promised, but have also breached users' privacy rights. City Bridge has been given millions of dollars in kind support from our city, but such a troubled history of privacy protection necessitates unflinching scrutiny of every aspect of the firm's business practices. Our challenge for company leaders is this. For every reassurance they've provided today of privacy and security maintenance, for every promise they've made for the future, are these binding obligations or simply empty words?
Time expired.
As long as these commitments clash with the company, we have no choice but to assume these promises are more about PR than privacy. Thank you for your time.
I am a retired law enforcement. I live in East Elmhurst. I represent East Elmhurst, Jackson Heights, and North Corona. We've had committee meetings on this with both these committees, both these guys, City and Link. They have proven themselves to be false, actually. When you go back and check what they've actually said and what they've actually given us, it's been false. They've shown themselves to be bad actors in the community boards. Also, being the chair of a community board, not everyone has scientists or environmental lawyers to decipher some of this information. But most of us don't need someone to tell us that radiation is bad. Radiation does not go well with a human being. And what we're talking about here is not simply headaches. We're talking about cancers. We're talking about immune diseases. We're talking about stopping people from being able to learn. Yes, this is a program that needs to be in, it needs to be done as far as getting everyone broadband. Yeah, and I love Clayton earlier when she said no one's talking about 5G. You know, everyone's talking about everything else, but what happened to 5G? But these people are not the people to do it. They've said to you guys, honestly, this is not for us. This is not for the people who live here. This is for the cars. This is for people on the street. Well, again, I get with third world countries. We always get the word third world countries. I live next to LaGuardia Airport.
Time expired.
My big thing, if I could just say this, we have to take care of people, not companies. And this is obviously a company that's a shell. So please, I want to get back to normal. Like the president said, COVID's over. Let's act like COVID's over. And I...
Whoops, looks like we've run out of time. But what do you think? Is wearing a piece of cloth over your nose and mouth and staying away from other people helping you to stay healthy? Let us know. Until next time, occupy your mind. Think for yourself. Think independently. Think.